Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Surely we want to stay with God. No matter what the test, no matter what the trial you're going through, we want you to stay with God. So that's why we're here on the Prospering Souls broadcast today, because we want to encourage you in the Word of God. And we want to encourage you to let you know that God is still God. No matter what circumstance you're going through, God is still God, and He is still Lord over every area of your life. He's still in control. So stay with God. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. We're
Praise
so
the Lord.
Blessed. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed just to be back here on the broadcast today for the first our first one of the year. And we've been had been talking about the spiritual gifts and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are the manifestation gifts. And it was such a blessing. I was just listening to the rebroadcast of those first three lessons that we were on, and it was such a blessing as we were talking about the manifestation gifts and all that goes along with that particular. And I'm gonna do a little recap. And then we'll dive right on back into it, and we'll finish it off either today or next Sunday or whenever the Lord says. But we're going to keep working with it until God, and then we'll start a new series coming up this year. But anyway, of course, the manifestation gifts, and well, before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Sister Dawson, would you lead us in prayer?
Amen. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word, dear God, for your word have we hid in our heart that we might not sin against you. Dear God, I pray that you open up our understanding. I pray that you speak to us, and I pray that we leave this place encouraged and even feeling more equipped and ready to do the work that you have prepared for us. Dear God, I pray that you bless each one that tunes into this broadcast and save such as should be saved. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you touch the presenter and I pray that you speak through them. And, Lord, let us have an ear to hear what your Spirit has to say. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your blood, and I thank you for your word, and thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I'm just going to be so thankful for that prayer, and we're just thankful that we're here in 2017. We made it another year, and the Lord brought us through 2016, had some ups, had some downs, but we are still here. We thank God for that. And we're going to keep going on in the name of the Lord and in the word of the Lord. And we thank God. And I just want to read this scripture. This is just a recap of a brief recap, and we'll dive right back into where we left off. We were, when we left off last year, we were talking about the gifts of healing. And so we'll go from there. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 7th through the 11th verse, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." And so that's our verse, and that's our background scripture for our teaching today. And just trying to recap where we were, and then we'll move on. When we think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which these are, the manifestation of gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about those nine gifts. And it says, although, you know, we briefly highlighted those, but it says the gifts from the Godhead, the remainder of the teaching will only focus on the third set of gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so, because we had the gifts of God, they kind of broke it down. Sometimes they can be broken down into three areas: the gifts of the Father, gifts of the Son. The gifts of the Father are the motivational gifts. The gifts of the Son will be those ministry gifts, and then the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But they're all operating in the self same Spirit. And so, just wanted to just kind of briefly say something about that. And then, of course, the purpose of the gifts are, to the believers and non-believers, is, first of all, spiritual maturity. It helps us to spiritually mature. We read 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, and it's for the edification of the body of Christ, and then it's for spiritual prosperity, and because it says it declares manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, and that's 12 and 7. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit can be compared to the precious stone which brings prosperity. That's Proverbs 17 and 8, which says that a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. And so we just want to just talk about those things in particularly. And let's see, something else I was going to say when I was reading through all this stuff today. I think that's it. We were just talking about. Oh, I think I was just talking about the between these nine gifts. There's the revelation gifts, which are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And then there's the power gifts, which is faith, healing, and miracle. And then there's the inspiration gifts, the gifts to say something. So the power gift, I mean, the revelation gifts are gifts that reveal something. That's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Then those power gifts are the ones that do something, faith, healing, and miracle. And then the inspiration gifts are those gifts that say something, prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so it's kind of sometimes they're broken out even that to that degree, to that way. So does anybody else have anything to say about that? If not, we're going to move on. And get into back into the teaching. Okay, so would anybody? Let's see, Elder Timberlake, are you ready to continue on, or how are we going to move forward? Elder Russell, how are you? God bless you.
Yeah, I'm fine. we're gonna just kind of work it together.
Okay, well, I'm gonna let you all have it, and I'm gonna get off the mic. God bless both of you all, and we're excited to hear what all's getting ready to happen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We're gonna be talking about the working of miracles, which is very exciting. I've had some things in my life that I consider miracles that I'll share with you later as we discuss this. The working of miracles is only mentioned once in the Bible, and I believe that's in 1 Corinthians 12:10. And it just says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongue, and to another interpretation of tongues. So much of the gifts kind of touch on each other a little bit. But I'm going to just read what I have. Okay, like I said, in Corinthians 12:10, the Apostle Paul names the gift of working of miracles. The word working is a translation of the Greek word energemi, which Strong's Concordance defines simply as an effect. This Greek word is also translated as operation elsewhere in the New Testament. The words of miracles are a translation of the Greek word dunamis, which means specifically miracle power, dunamis power. In other verses within the New Testament, dunamis is translated as ability, abundance, meaning, might, power, strength, violence, and mighty, wonderful works. The phrase working of miracles is found only, again, once in the Bible. Here in this list of the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's no detailed explanation provided. However, the term appears to be straightforward. Based on the definition of the Greek words, this is the appropriate definition. This is a supernatural ability to serve others as a channel of God's miracle working power. Again, this is a supernatural ability to serve others as a channel of God's miracle working power. The definition applies no boundaries or limitations, which is appropriate, since the power of our mighty God has no boundaries or limitations. Amen. The double plural most likely means that these gifts were diverse and were not permanently available at the will of the gifted believer, but instead were bestowed at various times and circumstances. Thus, the gifts are subject to the divine will of God and his purpose, and are not decided by the one who performs the miracle works. And I just want to stop right there where it says, thus the gifts are subject to the divine will of God and his purpose, and are not decided by the one who performs the miracle works. I remember when I was first saved, I gave my life to God, and I was just really into just reading my Bible, praying, and just getting along with God. That was my thing. When I came home in the evening, fixed my kids' food, and put them to bed, I went to my room and read my Bible, and it was in prayer. And I remember one night as I was laying down, I felt a strange power over me. I can't describe it. And all of a sudden, I was lifted from my body. And as I was, when I as I was lifted, it's like I was lifted into the atmosphere and I could see the stars around me. And I was going so fast that fear hit me. And when the spirit of fear hit me, I came back down. I didn't get to see whatever God was trying to show me. And so I couldn't just do that on my own. It was just something I believe that God was revealing to me or showing me. But I guess I wasn't ready. And even today I think about that. Oh, God, what were you trying to show me? So, and then there were other things, too, but let me finish reading this. We know that Jesus performs many miracles in his earthly ministry, even more than those recorded in Scriptures, John 20. Can you get that, Ella Timberlake? Okay. John 20, 30, 31. And someone get Acts 2:22, please.
John 20:31.
20:30 and 31.
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Amen. Could someone read Acts 2:22?
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know.
Amen. So many miracles was done in the midst of them, and even, of course, Jesus Christ. The apostles regularly performed miracles of all kinds, including casting out demons, healing, raising people from the dead, striking people dead, causing blindness, and much more. Other believers performed miracles as well, including Stephen. Sister Tim, like, would you get Acts 6:8, please?
Sure. 6:8. It reads, 6:8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts 6:8.
Yes. So the miracles of worked also through Stephen, although, you know, he did lose his life. Miracles were given by God to the church to reveal the presence and the glory of God among his people and to create a sense of awe and wonder and godly fear. So it looks like that the miracles was geared toward the church to reveal his glory to his people and to create, again, a sense of awe and wonder and godly fear. Though there were many enemies of the church, often the results of miracles being performed was more people coming to faith in Jesus, glorifying God. So what they're saying is that when the people saw the miracles of healing or miracles performed, then that increased their faith, and more people came and glorified God, as well as greater faith and boldness within the church. So it edified the church. The church grew, and there was greater faith. And those with the spiritual gift of miracles often have a heightened sensitivity to the presence and power of God through the Holy Spirit. I want to just interject there. It's on my personal statement that, you know, many years ago, when I was really getting to know God, I had a desire to paint. Well, I hadn't done that in quite a while, but I used to love to paint. So I remember I had stopped at Target's and I was trying to make a decision to get a canister set and get a painting set. So I said, I'll get both of them, but by the time I get to the counter, I'll decide which one I want. So when I got to the counter, I decided, well, I think I'll get the painting set. But, you know, many times we don't realize that God is speaking to us in a quiet way, nudging us to do things himself. So anyway, I bought the painting set, and I went home. I didn't use it that night, but I remember the night that I put the kids to bed, and I said, I think I'm going to paint tonight. So I got my paint out, my oil paint, and my canvas, and I said, I don't even know what I want to paint. So I'll just start, you know, just dibbing and dabbing. Then when I looked again, I saw this urn, like in the biblical days, and I said, let me just paint that. Then there was another one, and then there was another one. And so I just kind of painted the illusions or whatever I could see on the canvas, you know. And so I could see in the center of the paper there was something that was coming forth. And my daughter came in the room, and she was sitting by me while I was painting. And the kids were asleep, and all of a sudden there was an appearance on the paper, and I said, is that you, Jesus? That was my words. And she got scared, my daughter, she jumped behind me, so I wanted to capture that picture that I saw in the paper. And he had white, woolly hair, I remember. He had, it was a piercing looking eyes, a narrow face. And it looks like it. He had the robe that he wears with the purple and the long robe. And when I finished the paper, and I looked at all behind him was thousands, like was thousands and thousands of people that was behind him, just standing there. And as I looked at that, I was in awe, and I thought, my God, and it's just like. His head was down, and there was a sad look on his face. It's like I'm calling my people to come to me. I kept that picture. I took it to church, and I kept it maybe a couple of months. And then all of a sudden, it disappeared. I could not find it anywhere. So I do consider that somewhat of a miracle. But I hate that I lost it. Have any of you all had an experience like that? No one?
I had one like that, but I have
a similar.
Had, I've had, I've seen the miraculous working power of the Lord. When I lived in Indianapolis, I was driving down I-65 from January the 15th going to a Martin Luther King celebration, and I was hit by an 18-wheeler, and my car spun around numerous times on the highway, and the way it spun around and hit the side rails and all this other stuff and knocked cut off the back end of the car, threw me from the driver's seat. When the car finally stopped, I was on the passenger side in the back seat. The trunk was gone and everything was gone. And that was truly a divine intervention because all of a sudden a nurse came by. She had just gotten off work. She stopped to my rescue. Somebody else stopped, and they called the cops. It was a load of people there. Right there when I needed them, a miracle. Because, you know, it could have been another way, but there was a divine intervention. And that's what a miracle is. It's a divine,
intervention
that he spared my life. And, you know, so when you've seen God's power, well, we think about the things we see. But the greatest miracle that he did was when he saved my life, not my physical life, but my spiritual life. So as we... That's a miracle in itself, that we see the working powers of God working through us. But that's just one of them, and there are many, but that always stick in my mind because it was today's Martin Luther King birthday. It happened in 1985 at 9 o'clock at 1.7-mile marker. It's still so vivid in my mind. So, but God, that's one of those. This gift is a but God.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't mean things could go another way.
Mm-hmm.
And just healing, but the gift of working of miracles affect us, and it's shown in many ways. It's demonstrated and manifested in many areas of our lives.
Yes.
Anybody else
want to
say?
Yes, I do. I can remember one night. That was years ago, back in the 80s, I believe. Yeah, I know it was. And I was coming up. I worked at a department store. It was called Zaire then, and I worked second shift. I had a little part-time job there. And I was going home. I was coming around Millersville Road at that night, and I was just driving and thinking, boy, what if a car comes, if a car comes facing toward me and come around here and just run into me. I just thought that. The next thing I knew, I was driving, and a car came around the bend and was coming head on to me. And I just remember, I don't even know if I said Jesus or whatever, but I know any car straightened up and went past me. And I thought, oh, my God. So that was a miracle to me. I had thought about it happening before it even really happened, and then it straightened up, and God did not allow that collision.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, since we're talking about cars, I remember, well, this was about a year or so ago, I was riding with one of the nurses, and we decided to go out to lunch on our lunch break, and so we took the exit, and her car began to act funny, you know, and so she realized she was on a flat. I said, oh, my God. And she said, oh, Shirley, this is such a bad place to have a flat because those people just head off the freeway so fast. So she said, let me stop and quick as we can and let's get out of this car. So she got a chance to pull over to the side of the road, and she said, now hurry and get out. So we got out. And those cars were just fast. Then while we were sitting there, while we were in the car, I began to pray. I said, God, I pray for your protection over us. I pray that you would send someone to help us. I just prayed, and we got out the car. And so we got out the car. And as soon as we got out the car, a man stopped and said, he pulled in front of us and said, can I help you? We said, we have a flat. So we took him to the back of the car to get the tire and whatever you need to do the tire. But it was still dangerous because someone could have hit from behind. Then another man stopped and said, can I help you? So he pulled behind that car. And then an 18-wheeler stopped and pulled behind that car and put out yellow signs all the way down to the exit. So we were lined up with protection. It's like God had angels for us. I mean, for help, just lined it up, you know. And so we thanked everybody and offered to pay them. And we asked the guy that, do you normally do that? He said, I'm just on the highway. When I see someone needs help, I put out those yellow signs and put on his little vest. And, honey, we were well protected in that little area. And she said to me, she said, well, Shirley, she said, you just sit there and pray, and then all of a sudden everybody came. for her, it was a miracle, a witness that prayer does change things.
Thank God for protection.
Those people just came out of anywhere.
Well, I wanted to talk about, I feel like this was a miracle because I felt like I was under an attack. It was close to when I first got saved and I got the Holy Ghost, and I felt like the enemy, I was sleep, actually, and I think I was at somebody else's house. I wasn't even at my house at this time because I think something was going on. And it was like the enemy grabbed hold of me and I couldn't move, I couldn't speak, I couldn't do anything. And so all I remember doing is in my mind saying,
Jesus,
and that thing let me go. It happened almost like it was three times that happened to me. And each time it was almost like I was paralyzed. And I just started thinking the name of Jesus. I didn't even speak it out because I couldn't say nothing.
You couldn't say nothing.
Jesus, and it let me go, and it didn't. After that, it did not bother me again anymore. So I'm saying you might can't even speak it, but if you say it, so people say if you call on him, but I was just thinking about it. Calling on him in my mind, and he still came to my rescue. And I remember another.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, and then I remember another time when I was having some surgery, and this is why it's so important to have people around you that know how to call on the Lord, because the enemy was trying to attack me at that time. I was having surgery, and I remember this. They had given me, you know, they give me that medicine to start taking you, putting you. And I remember saying this. I do remember saying this, but they started praying against it because they said, that was the enemy trying to take me out of there. And I remember saying, I will see you all on the other side. That was my exact word. And later, a couple of days later, the nurse came to me, and she said, you know what? She said, I'm going to tell you what you said, that you were going to see us on the other side. And she said, I perceived in my spirit that was the enemy trying to take you out of here. And I mean, I prayed and I rebuked the devil because you was not going to die on my watch. And that's exactly what she told me. And I didn't know that even after that, the enemy tried to attack me again. And I was getting ready to leave the hospital. And I started experiencing some difficulty breathing. And I told the nurse, I said, something's going on. I told, because this is what I said. I said, I'm going to get ready to go walk one more time before I leave. Because I was waiting on Clay and them were coming to pick me up because they were here. And they went to the hospital with me, and they were coming to get me. And I was waiting on them, so I had gotten dressed and everything. And I started walking around the hallway. And I started having difficulty breathing. And the lady said, she said, oh, I told the nurse, she said, well, maybe it's probably gas. I said, I don't think this is gas. And that's what I said. And so it was one nurse there. See, he's always the one guy got somebody for you.
Oh, that's right.
And I said, she started really looking into the situation. And she started giving me stuff. And she said, no, we can't send her home. And praise the Lord, they did not send me home because it was a blood clot on my lungs.
Oh, my God.
And they said, probably had you left out of here, you probably wouldn't have come back, you know, alive. You know what I'm saying? Because it was on my lungs. And they began to work with me. They started giving me stuff to dissipate. They went, you know, I did some x-rays and stuff like that, and that's how they found it. So I ended up staying in the hospital a couple more days. But I just thank the Lord, because to me that's a miracle. Because he could have left the hospital, but he believed that thing cut up before I even got out of there, and so the Lord spared my life. So I'm thankful for that miracle.
Mm-hmm. I want
and the
to
thing
share.
That I
oh, go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
The thing that I like about hearing about these miracles is the fact that at the end of the day, even as we speak now, the Lord has done those things because we all have purpose in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of the all-out attack from the devil, the Lord has his arms around us and he's protecting us so we can carry out his divine will.
Yes. Amen. And I remember a while back, maybe a few years back, that we normally do a physical on our jobs. So it was my time to go and get a physical, and so they did an x-ray, and they called me back. They said they wanted to talk to me about my chest x-ray, and when I went there, they told me that I had a knot, my nodule or whatever, my lungs. And I said, why would I get that? I don't smoke or nothing like that. And so she told me, she said, well, go to your doctor and have them to check that out. Now, you know that scared me, anything but your heart and your lungs. And so when I went to a doctor, lung specialist, he said that we probably need to go in and get that out. If it's cancers or anything like that, it could spread, right? So I said, well, whatever we need to do. And so they set me up for surgery. In the meanwhile, I was so fearful. I checked all, I made sure my life insurance and all of this was intact. I didn't think I was coming out of that. And try to get everything lined up in case something was something terrible. And then one day, as I was thinking about that, I said, you know, I really don't belong to me. I belong to God. I'm in His hands. And He's not going to let anything happen to me that should not happen. And I said, I'm relieving this. I'm letting this go, this worry. And whatever happens, it happens because God allows it to happen. And I let it go. I let it go. So anyway, I was scheduled for to go and have that surgery and whatever, endoscopy, and then they was going to take that out. My family came down to be with me. And so the morning of the surgery, after they got me prepped and everything, the guy that does a CT scan, he said, I want to do one more CT scan before your surgery. So I went in there to have the CT scan done. And when he finished, he said, well, he said, I couldn't even find it. This little sun was so small, I couldn't even hardly see it. He said, I don't think you need to have surgery. I said, well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So that day we went back, and he went back and told the family, and honey, we left there. We went out to breakfast. we all went out to breakfast and had a good time. So from then on, whenever the doctor would tell me something, like he told me, I remember the doctor telling me my liver enzymes was 100 times as high. I said, I know that's a mistake. I asked the doctor, I said, would you please recheck those again? He said, no, I'm going to send you to the specialist. But you know what? I relieved. I thought about the nozzle in my lungs. I said, I belong to God. He's not going to let anything happen to me unless it's my time.
Yes.
And I went on to the lung specialist, and he did what he had to do. And then all the way down by Baylor Hospital, it was raining that day. I had to go through there. So anyway, when he got that done and when I came back, he said, it's nothing. It's perfect.
Thank you.
So we don't know why we go through things, you know. It just strengthens us. It strengthened me not to worry about sickness. If
yes.
It comes, pray and believe God for it and keep on going. What can you do? Just enjoy one day at a time.
Yes.
Don't let the sickness or the thought of sickness take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Elder Russell, can I say something again? I don't mean to, you know.
No. That's
is it okay?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Go ahead.
All right. Well, today I was at church, and the pastor preached, and I even texted Denise. I'm sorry. I text Elder Bryson today, and the scripture was John 5:6, and it was Jesus was asking. Oh, I forget who it was. He was asking them. Wait, just I'm gonna find it because I just wanted to. if you give me just
yeah, go
a second
ahead,
here, John.
Could that be made whole?
John 5:6. I mean 6. I'm sorry, John 6, 5:6. And it was such a beautiful point to me. And he was talking to Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked Philip, you know, Jesus had got through, talking. He saw a great company of people. And he said unto Philip, he said, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, this is Jesus asking Philip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the sixth verse, the Lord said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. See, he asked Philip, you know, where is this coming from? But God knew what he was going to do. And so
mm-hmm.
I feel like that happens in our lives. I feel like that happens in our lives. You know,
mm-hmm.
things happen, but Jesus knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's going to do. And
and
you know, he just prove it to you,
mm-hmm.
who to prove you. He proved it to Philip who he was, and
yes.
So I'm so thankful for all these miracles and things. You know, God is proving to us who He is, because He already know what He gonna do. We just don't know,
mm-hmm.
but we just gotta walk it out and walk into it. Like
right.
you said, you finally gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when you know God. But God knew He was gonna touch you. God knew that he was going to make that lung situation all right. And it was a blessing. Your family was there. You were all able to leave and fellowship with one another. But God knew that. But you had to get through. He had to prove himself to you and to get that fear out of you. And I'm so thankful for the word of God. And I'm thankful for this conversation because it just goes back to confirm what I've even heard earlier today. And then hearing it into all of our lives that God knows what we're going through. It's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like it. But in order for it to become a miracle, he knows what he's going to do. He's going to take care of us.
Yeah,
right.
Got sidebars over here saying it's for somebody listening too.
Yes. And
Elder Dotson's listening.
This increased my faith. You know, whenever something happens, I go back to when I had the lung problem and how I gave it to God. I said, I don't belong to me. I belong to Him. I believe in healing. But I'm not going to take every day and worry about this problem. I'm going to enjoy this one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it increased my faith. It helps you to grow. God knows what you need. We don't know what may happen down the road, you know?
Not only does it increase our faith, that the one of us that he does the miracle to, but as Elder Dotson is on the sidebar saying, when other people hear this testimony or they see the manifestation of the testimony, it increases their faith. It builds their faith. And if they're a non-believer and they're doubting, it helps them to begin to consider this miracle, the miraculous power of God, His wonder-working power. It helps them to consider that, the man told Paul, the almost die. Sometimes it doesn't get them all the way, but sometimes it does get many. It draws them in. It is another way, another tool that God, the Holy Spirit, uses to bring people to the fold.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, first natural, then spiritual. So if you get somebody, they need healing and God heals them, or they hear how God healed you, then they can catch on to that faith. If he did it for you, he can do it for me. And now that he's done that for me, I see this power. This great God, I think I'm going to try this because it seems to be working for other people. I'm going to see if it works for me.
Yeah, that's what they did in the early church when they saw the miracles. And, you know, it increases your faith to do things. Like me being a nurse, I had a patient that come in. He said his granddaughter had a brain tumor. And he said, well, Sister Shirley, would you just pray with me? You know, you have to be careful when you're not at church or in work areas praying. So I closed the door and I prayed. We just prayed. No, just a simple prayer. No hollering, no screaming, just prayer for God to touch and heal his granddaughter. Do you know he came back a month later and said, Sister Shirley, they could not find the brain tumor. I thought about my love.
That's what I'm talking about, right there.
And so I said, well, thank God. I didn't take no credit for it because we just touched him.
Yeah.
That man came to me every time he had a need. He said, Sister Shirley, I need false teeth. Let's pray. He got the false teeth. He said, Sister Shirley, I need my VA check. He got the VA check. But faith has something to do with it too. Everything that man asked for, we prayed he got it.
Thank you. But
I was in awe myself. You know, I just said, well, God, you're able. So I learned that if you are praying, just a sincere prayer, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, just a sincere prayer in agreement, miracles do happen.
Yes, they do. I was remembering a time when I was at work, and this is why it's so important that even though we're going through stuff, we got to stay in the right frame of mind with the Lord.
Oh, Lord, you better say it, girl.
Because I was at work, and this is when I first moved here to Texas, so I was just new here. So anyway, I was at work, and the guy that sat next to me, he said, Denise, all down my left side is just, he said, it feels numb and hurt. I was thinking to myself, I said, Lord, I hope he ain't having no heart attack, Jesus. I just start praying. And so then the next thing I know, and he was real tall. He was a real tall guy, kind of thick. And he fell straight out, fell back and straight out. And I was like, and all I first I hollered, call 911. I mean, I was alarmed like the alarm. And so the people, everybody started scurrying around and running, and I jumped out of my seat and I ran over there because I said, Lord, he can't die on my watch, Jesus. I need you to touch his body because he was out. And I just began to pray for him. And thanks be to God, he opened his eyes up.
Praise God.
And I prayed, Lord. But he, then they took him out and he had some difficulties, but he didn't die, and I was just so thankful for that. He's still going on about his business. The Lord touched him, and the Lord healed him and blessed him, and they determined what was going on, and they blessed. He's still moving on today. So I just thank God for that. But we got to be ready, and we can't be fearful, but we have to know that our God is able to do it.
He's able to do it. He's able. God always has a ram in the bush for his children.
Yes.
Someone is standing around. Will there be another? Well, I have
here
one
goes
more.
My mouth. Here goes my mouth. It's not a miracle, but I just want to say what Elder Bryson said and what you said, Elder Russell, that when the people that are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost are in the room, we are God's ambassadors. We are there so he can work through us. Like you said, it wasn't you, but it was God. We
was God.
Make the difference wherever we go.
Amen. I wanted to say this. I mean, I'm enjoying this, and I have a lot of things that have happened during the years, but this just happened. I had a patient come. He was in our lobby, he said. He said, Shirley? I said, yes. He said, I've been looking for you. I said, oh. He said, I haven't seen you in 2 years. Remember I told you I had 6 weeks to live? I said, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, uh-huh, because I didn't remember. He said, well, look at me now. And my sister sends me crosses, and I give them out. I've probably given out 300-400. And he had this little cross in his hand. The string had broken off, and it was a cross that I had given him. He said, I just want to thank you. And he gave me a hug, and I hugged him back. But I don't even remember him. Now, this week, this man came to my door. He had when you have a cold or something. He said, Sister Cheryl, I just want to stop by and tell you hello. I said, well, hello. He said, you remember me? He said, remember I saw I didn't remember. He said, remember I saw you? And I was telling you how God had healed me. I said, yes, I remember when we saw you. I saw him last month. So he came in, and we sit down, and I prayed over him, and he prayed with me. And I had a situation that I said, since I prayed for you in a situation, God bless, I want you to pray for me. I have a situation. So he prayed a beautiful prayer. But, you know, I don't even remember him. I remember my cross, though, that I gave him. So I just give God the glory. You know, sometimes we don't remember. It's not for us to remember. It's just for us to do what God wants us to do. So I'm thankful when they come back and tell me. I think about the 10 lepers when one came back to tell Jesus to thank him for healing him. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But it's just a testimony to know that God does miracles even when we don't even see them. We don't even know them. We pray for people and miracles have happened and we don't even know it. But God does.
Yeah.
He does.
That means the days of miracles is not over.
Right.
As some would say. It's not to say there are no more miracles, but they are. Just because we don't see lightning bolts come down and cracking and, you know, the Red Sea part, so to speak. But in our circles and in our lives, God is still working miracles, and that's such
He's
a blessing to
them.
Even reckon. You know, I'm sorry. You know, we take it for granted, but I don't even always recognize it, you know, at times. But these are miracles.
They are miracles.
And the
know,
Bible says, what should we do? So we should see even greater miracles. Dead been raised, demons been casted out.
legs, yes. limbs been healed.
Mm-hmm.
These are the mighty, miraculous working power of the Lord. That's of the Holy Spirit that should be manifest,
right.
that we should be going forth with. He's built our faith on things he's done for us, and
mm-hmm.
now we got to go out and do, because as we talked about before, overseas in other countries, in third world countries, they see miraculous miracles. We
oh,
still
yeah.
talk about what we see in the Bible, but they can talk about the Bible and talk about what they've seen with their natural eye. That's why they have such great crowds, because they see that wonder of working power of God being manifested. And that same power is in our country, is in our churches today. We got
yes.
to allow him to have free course so he can
yes.
move the way that he want to move. We got to get in position, as our pastor preached today. We got to be in the right posture so the Holy Spirit can really have his way and have full course.
Amen. 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 Praise God. You know, we have a lot of problems on our jobs, and not with the people, not with the, like with my patients, but it's with sometimes the staff. And I remember that I have a young lady that I said to God, I want to love her. I want her to love me. For some reason, she does not like me, I, for no reason. But you know how that is when you're trying to live a Christian life, and you don't just mingle with everybody, because sometimes the crowds, they say things that just that just disturbs you. So I'd rather be alone to some extent. So I remember that the scripture that says, "Don't give pearls to swine." I thought about that, and I thought about her, but I, you know, that just went through my mind. But I was on the prayer line. I heard this lady say, well, I had a lot of problems on my job with this certain person. She said, what I did, I gave everybody Christmas cards, and I just, those that were nice to me and those were not. And I said, well, you know, love conquers a lot, and I thought about that. So what I decided to do, I went and I bought candy for everybody in my clinic, including my clerks, and I got them a card, and when I was writing the card, whatever God gave me for the card, I put it down. So I gave it to everybody, including the little girl that for some reason doesn't like me, and I gave her a card. I handed it to her in a hand, and I went on. And do you know, I got such beautiful response from that. Some people that maybe didn't say a word or two began to talk to me, you know. And it's something about the power of love. And this lady that I said I would speak and I would be kind to, but I would just feed out a long time spoon, I noticed her getting kinder to me, right? And so I would say, well, praise God. Then one day she said, Shirley, she said, I have some roasted chicken. She said, I'm not going to eat it. Would you care for it? I said, well, thank you. But I was just saying, you know, love conquers a lot. But sometimes when you give up, you
yes.
put a little love in your ingredients and you'll be surprised. You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just put a little love in there, you know. So, I was just amazed that I said, that's just showing love to those that don't like you and you don't know why. Just show the love of God. Let God work it out.
Yes.
Sometimes we try to work out situations we can't, so just leave it alone, trust God to do it. In some way, you get a word or you get something, a word of knowledge or some discernment of what you need to do to close it up. So I thought that was the end of that story. I thought I would just speak and show her love, but not just get into her company, just stay out of her space. But God did it another way. So we never know. Sometimes we need to let go and let God.
Yeah.
But still show his love, you know. So to me, that was a miracle.
Yes.
That was a miracle because she came out and offered me something that she never did before. And it was the best chicken. It was the best roasted chicken. But I was more amazed at her than I was about the chicken. But it was that she gave me something, right?
Yeah.
I just want to say that because, you know, on our working, people that we work with, sometimes we have a lot of difficulties with them. And they can stress us out, but We have to continue to show the love of Christ, because what does he say? What is it, love someone that loves you, but to love someone that does not is the love of Christ, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that in case anyone had any problem on their jobs.
That's beautiful. It was beautiful. It's,
oh, my God. God has a way. He has an answer to everything. He has a reason. Because I had given up. That means I had let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to still be polite, speak, and whatever. Help her when she needed help. But that was it. But when I gave the gift of love, it changed her.
Yeah.
Changed her mannerism. Just a little gift of love. Some people just need just a little touch of love.
And if we could really just understand the power that God has given us and the
yes.
various avenues that he's given us to use to work his power in situations, we would really, if we would just really grasp hold of that, we would be so much more at ease with situations and circumstances. And I'm just really
yes.
believing, yes, praying
That's
that
so
God would show us that. And this is such a beautiful lesson today, and just hearing all the testimonies and just how God is moving. People don't think miracles, but miracles are just happening. They happen in every day. Really, they really, really are. And I just want to say, I want to share one more thing. This just came to me, and I thought about it, because sometimes we don't even think about things as being a miracle. But I can remember being in a car accident, and somebody hit me from behind, and somebody hit, and then they hit me from, I got ran into the back of a truck, and the car
mm-hmm.
just came out of nowhere and hit me from behind and pushed me into the back of a truck. And so, but the Lord blessed me to walk away from that, and I think I had a bruise on my leg and my hip was hurting or something like that. But what was interesting about that whole situation was the claims adjuster. When he went to go look at the car, a friend of mine worked for that particular company, and he asked her, she said, "Yeah, that's my friend's car." And he asked her, he said, "Well, did she live? Because the car was in such bad shape."
Oh, my God.
The car was in such bad shape, he didn't even think I had made it out of there. But I did make it out.
Look at God.
I made it out there, and I didn't even have no problems.
But,
I had, just like I said, I went to the hospital just because they said you need to go. And I had a bruise. I think my hip was a little hurt because I had went up in the air and came back down and hit it on the side when I came back down. And I remember being in that car, and I remember because my seat broke and the glass all around me had broken, and I remember being in that car laid straight back. And I remember...
You had angels all around you. You had angels all around you protecting you.
All around me. But I remember people coming and looking in the car trying to see if I was, you know, what the condition was, and I was looking up at them. Lord, he will take care of us. And I, because now one thing I'm faithful in doing is hollering Jesus. I could be sleeping in the car with you riding down the highway, and I feel a jiggle or something. I'm going to come up with Jesus. That's all I know to say.
That's so true. I time is getting late, but I'll tell this maybe the next time, because I want to tell a miracle that happened to a patient of mine about his family. And it was certainly an unusual miracle. So I'll tell that next time, because it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and I tell you, when we're having a good time, the time sure does go fast. But I'm so glad. And I think, Elder, I remember having this conversation. We just going to keep on talking about these gifts until the Lord says something different. We're not on no time schedule. I said,
I have a lot of them to tell. I'm sure you all do, too, all these many years.
Yeah, so because this is a blessing, and people need to know that miracles are still happening, and we're living witnesses to these miracles happening. And so I think it's such a great, you know, avenue to be able to testify about these things and for people to be able to know that things are still, God is still working miracles in the lives of his people, and that he will bless us. And so I'm so thankful about that. And I just wanted to, at this time, I hope somebody has been encouraged by this, and even in your current situation, maybe you haven't seen the manifestation of God come forward, but I'm telling you, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can even ask or think. He is still a miracle-working God, and so he can still work miracles in your life, in the lives of your family, in the lives of the people around you. There were so many testimonies and so many wonderful words of encouragement spoken over on this call today, on the ministry today, and I hope that you will just listen to it over and over again and be blessed by it. Tell your, somebody that needs this, that needs to hear this, tell them so that they can be blessed by it. But if there's anybody who does not know the Lord in the pardoning of your sins, I just want you to pray this prayer with me, because you can give your life to the Lord today, and you can go to sleep tonight knowing you're in the family of God and you've been adopted into the family and that you are part of his family. You can give your life today and be saved today. So it says, "Dear God in heaven, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. I receive Jesus as my Savior and ask him to come into my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that you have raised him from the dead. I ask you to please help me to live as you want me to live. I thank you for the gift of your wonderful son, Jesus, and your merciful free gift of salvation. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, amen and amen."
Amen.
I believe it. Said that prayer with me today and was earnest to give Jesus your heart today and to confess your sins, that you are saved. And you need to find you a good Bible-teaching church, a Bible-believing church that will teach you the Word of God and continue to help you to grow. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As you begin to be taught the Word of God, you will be strengthened and you will begin to have a closer walk with him. And your communication time with him is very important. And so we thank everybody so much. Thank Elder Russell, Elder Timberlake for leading us out today. And we look forward to next week and this continuing on. We thank the Lord for Sister Dotson and Elder Dotson being on the line as well. And we're so grateful for all of you that logged in, those others that called in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. And I'm going to ask Elder Timberlake if she would pray our final prayer, and then we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast, where we will continue to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation gifts. Elder Timberlake?
Father, we thank you for this time, this hour we set aside to dedicate to consider your word and your works and your will. So, God, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for all hearts and minds and every ear that have heard. Let each heart be blessed. Let it be enlightened. Let it be encouraged for your glory. And, oh, God, we ask that you would ever keep us in your will. Keep us, whatever we're going through, whatever we have to face, God, even on tomorrow. Be with us. Strengthen us. Guide us until we come together again for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Man,
amen.
Thank you all so much. We look forward to hearing next week the continue the teaching. Oh, this was good. Amen. I've enjoyed just thinking about it. I'm getting so excited. Anyway, God bless you all, and we will see you here again on next week.
Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night. Good night.